I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Arros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
You're listening to the Renegades of Puck
with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to the bunker. Welcome to the Renegades of Puck podcast. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. And before we get started on the no half step in hockey coverage, let me direct you to our home website, renegadesofpuck.com. Once you go there, you'll get all educated on the show. And once you're done learning, then you can click on that merchandise tab. And that's where you can find our classic logo t-shirt, our pride logo t-shirt, all the other special event t-shirts, and then all of the gimmicks you've come to know and expect from the Renegades of Puck. We're up to 55 plus items in our online store. We've got socks, throw pillows, wall arts, bed set, everything. You can outfit your entire home, and we would appreciate it if you would go ahead and do so. We've sold out so that you can buy-in. Social media is of critical importance to this independent hockey operation right here, so please listen up. Give us a like, give us a follow, give us a subscription, give us all of those things, please. It doesn't cost you a thing, and it doesn't take you but a second. So go to social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We are on all of those different platforms. You can also, of course, find us on YouTube. You can find our behind-the-scenes live streaming channel on Twitch. You can find us on numerous podcast platforms, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Amazon, just a couple of those to name more than the many that we are on. So many different platforms we are on now in podcast form, and we are gaining new listeners each and every day thanks to the Full Press Predators Network. So thank you guys so much. We sure do appreciate each and every one of you out there. Stick taps, love, and respect. Venmo, that's how you can become a partner of the show, and that's how you can also make a donation. Generous Renegades like you have helped this operation from day one, and we sure do appreciate it, and we sure could use the continued support. Thank you so much. You can see, based on the new microphone, new camera, new lighting, and new everything here around the bunker, that we have been able to make significant upgrades, and that is not easy to do for an independent operation. So please just search Renegades of Puck on Venmo or scan the QR code that is currently on your screen. Now, I know it's time for the no half step in hockey coverage, so let me deliver the goods. It's time for operation number 708. That's right, show number 708 for the Renegades of Puck. And at this moment in hockey history, the Nashville Predators currently find themselves in fifth place in the Central Division. After 47 games played, they have a record of 23-18-6, 52 points. On home ice, they have a record of 13-7-3. They have scored 131 goals, 437 goals given up. That is a goal differential of -6. Why did I mention the home record? Well, because the Nashville Predators' next game is against the New Jersey Devils at Bridgestone Arena on home ice. It also happens to be the last game before the All-Star break. So let's run down the division standings, because after tonight's action, we've had a significant shakeup in the Central Division. It has been status quo for quite some time, except for the three teams, Colorado, Nashville, and St. Louis, playing leapfrog with each other. Well, now add Minnesota into that mix, because Minnesota has fallen out of the third spot for the first time in quite some time. Let's review. Dallas currently sits in first place in the Central Division with 64 points after 49 games played. The Winnipeg Jets are in second place, also 49 games skated. They have 63 points. The Colorado Avalanche are now in third place in the Central Division with 55 points, leapfrogging over Minnesota. Minnesota falls to fourth place in the Central Division at 54 points. And the Nashville Predators are in fifth place at 52 points. So the Nashville Predators just 2 points behind Minnesota, 3 points behind an automatic playoff spot, third place overall in the Central Division, which is currently held after tonight's action by Colorado. St. Louis is at 49 points. They suffered another loss tonight, so they are 3 points behind Nashville. And then Arizona, Chicago are well behind in points, backing up the bottom of the division in seventh and eighth. So the Central Division standings have had quite a shakeup, and now we are just one game away from the All-Star break. The Nashville Predators, with a little bit of help on the scoreboard, could find themselves in a pretty good spot going into the All-Star break. Now, coming out of the All-Star break, the Nashville Predators will be back on the ice on February the 7th, on home ice again against the Vegas Golden Knights. Then on the 11th of February, they will be at the Philadelphia Flyers. On the 13th, versus the Arizona Coyotes on home ice. On the 16th, against the Boston Bruins. On the 18th of February, versus the Florida Panthers at Bridgestone Arena. Now, to close out the stretch of action before the All-Star break, the Nashville Predators have this one game against the New Jersey Devils. They have played one time already this season. It took place on December the 1st. The Preds secured a 4-3 victory in overtime. Ryan Johansson, the first star of the game, game. 2 goals and assists with 3 points. Granlund and Sissons add the other 2 goals for the Nashville Predators. UC Saros picks up the victory, 25 out of 28 in this game. Highly impressive victory, one of the Nashville Predators' signature victories of the season. Why would I call it that? Well, because let's take a look at the Devils. A record of 31-12-4, 66 points on the season is good for second best in the Metropolitan Division. Taking a look at their most recent 5 games of action, back on January the 14th, it was a 5-2 victory at the LA Kings. Back on the 16th of January, 4-3 shootout win at San Jose. Followed that up on the 19th with a 4-3 overtime loss at the Seattle Kraken. On the 22nd of January, a 2-1 overtime win versus Pittsburgh. And on the 24th, their most recent game, a 3-2 overtime win versus the Vegas Golden Knights. So 4 consecutive games going to extra time, and the Nashville Predators and the New Jersey Devils have already played a game to overtime. That could be foreshadowing going into this next game. Taking a look inside the NHL rankings between these two teams, the Devils are going to be ahead in virtually every single, if not every single, statistical metric. So let's take a look at it. In goals for, 3.47 for the Devils is 6th best in the NHL, while the Preds are nowhere near that. 2.74 is 27th overall in the NHL, but still much better than where they bottomed out the season at 2.42. Goals against average, Nashville Predators are sitting at 13th in the NHL, giving up 2.89 per game, but the Devils are only giving up 2.60 per game. That is 3rd best overall in the National Hockey League. In the shots for category, shots on net, the Devils are 4th best in the league, 34.4 shots on net per game. And in this particular scenario and matchup, I do not like how this is looking for the Preds, because the Nashville Predators happen to be 29th in the league in shots against, giving up the same exact number, 34.4 per game, as the Devils are averaging. The Preds, by the way, are 19th in the league in shots on net. The Devils are 3rd in the league in shots against, only giving up 28 per game. In special teams, the power play for the Devils, one of their lower statistical metrics at 18th in the NHL, 30 out of 140 opportunities on the season, a 21.4% conversion rate, but it's still much better than Nashville Predators' power play overall in the season, 29th in the league, 16.2% conversion rate, 25 out of 154 opportunities on the season. And in the penalty kill, while the Preds have a respectable ranking of 14th in the league and a kill rate of 80.2%, they've given up 33 power play goals on the season. The Devils find themselves at 8th best in the NHL in penalty kill, giving up only 27 power play goals against on the season and a kill rate of 81.5%. Now, injuries for the Nashville Predators. Mark Borowiecki has been the one consistent name on the injury report for some time now. Still on injured reserve, we are starting to at least hear some word that there may be some movement in that situation sometime soon, but nothing definitive to announce at this time. Alex Carrier had to leave the most recent game for the Nashville Predators after the first period. No word on his injury status or his status for the next game against this New Jersey Devils team. Every team in the NHL is full of highly skilled individual players, and that's why we always talk about the top 5 scorers in the stats from each team. Let's start with the visiting New Jersey Devils. It is Hughes with 30 goals on the season. Add 30 assists to that for one very symmetrical looking hockey season. 60 points on the year. 30 goals, of course, leading the Devils at this time. 30 assists tied for the team lead with Bratt, who also has 18 goals in the season. 48 points for second overall on scoring. Heischer is at 21 goals and 25 assists for 46 points. Hamilton, 13 and 29 for 42. And Mercer, 10 goals and 18 assists for 28 points in net. Vanacek, 25-2. That's a record of 20 victories, 5 losses, and 2 overtime losses. 916 save percentage, 2.30 goals against average. Really, really good strong numbers right there for the New Jersey netminder. On the home team side of the statistical ledger, Philip Forsberg leads the Nashville Predators in scoring. 18 goals and 22 assists for 40 points on the season, but now he has been tied by the captain, Roman Josi, 12 goals and 28 assists for 40 points on the season. Matt Duchene, 13 and 23 for 36. Mikael Granlund, 5 and 22 for 27. And Ryan Johansson, 11 goals and 13 assists for 24 points. UC Saros, a record of 18, 13 and 5, a save percentage of 920 and a 2.70 goals against average, 1,108 saves on 1,204 shots against on the season. season overall at this point, and the number of saves that UC Saros has made is number one overall in the NHL at this point. And if you go back and look at his numbers from October and the beginning of November, these numbers are just absolutely incredible to see as we are just now through mid-January. So UC Saros is climbing his way with numbers. He's going to the All-Star game, and after that, he's going to make a run in the second half of the season. It's not even half of a season, 30-plus games to go. Who's going to make a run at being a Vezina finalist again this season? He has heated up to that point, and UC Saros expected to get the start in the final game before the All-Star break against a very, very good New Jersey Devils team. That's got you all set up for the Nashville Predators versus the New Jersey Devils and the update on the shakeup and the standings in the Central.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sport, a match made in hockey.
And we go all the way back to January the 24th of the year 2023 when the Nashville Predators were on home ice to take on the Winnipeg Jets for the second of four regular season meetings between these Central Division rivals. John Hines deploys his lines in the following way. Forsberg, Last, Duchesne, Niederreiter, Johansson, and Granlund. Your third line is Smith, Parsons, and Sissons. Trennan, Novak, and Janot make up your fourth line. Defensive pairings, McDonough and Josi, Ekholm and Carey, Luzon and Fabro. UC Saros gets the start in net, and before you can even blink, just 48 seconds into the game, Dubois' 21st goal of the season puts Winnipeg on the board ahead 1-0. Ekholm had the turnover, Perfetti had the setup, and Dubois had the tap-in. It was really an easy exchange for the Winnipeg Jets. We are now 4:13 into the first period, or actually 1:13 into the first period. Carrier and Stanley off to the box, 5 minutes each for fighting. Carrier quite the size discrepancy giving up to Stanley in this fight. Still a pretty good scrap overall. 4:06 now of the first period. Hellebuck comes up with a save on glass off of the rush. It was the first shot on goal for the Nashville Predators at 5:37 of the first period. Hellebuck comes up with multiple saves during a scramble. Trennan and Novak were the troublemakers in this scenario. 6:45, Hellebuck comes up with a save on Niederreiter's spinning shot at 8:20. UC Saros comes up with a save on Lowry all alone from the slot. And then 13:15, Saros comes up with a save on Morrissey after a long stretch of back and forth hockey. 15:30 of the first period, Saros comes with a save on Stanley's heavy shot. It was 9:02 between whistles at this point in the first period. 18:26 of the first period, UC Saros comes with a save on Lowry plus the rebound with no stick in his hand. 19:20 of the first, Saros another save on Connor after the Preds turn the puck over in the defensive zone. We hit the end of the first period, Winnipeg leading 1-0, out shooting the Nashville Predators 15-13. We are 34 seconds into the second period. Connor Hellebuck's coming with a save on Forsberg. The Nashville Predators clearly have a different gear coming out of the second period. It's a strong start to the period, controlling the play for the first 3-plus minutes until Matthias Ekholm would put the puck over the glass at 3:16 of the second. That would leave UC Saros to have to come up with a big save on Dubois. It was the first shot on goal for the Winnipeg Jets in the period. After the penalty kill, the Preds go back to controlling play and, frankly, dominating the play for a good stretch right here. As a matter of fact, through the first 10 minutes of the period, the Preds would generate 10 shots on goal and be out shooting Winnipeg 10-1 with the Jets' only shot on goal coming during their power play. At 12:16 of the second period, though, UC Saros checking back into work after getting a nice rest. So he comes up with a save on Lowry, kicking the leg out on the doorstep. Then at 13:31, Hellebuck comes up with a save on Ekholm through heavy traffic. 13:49 of the second period, Glass's sixth goal of the season gets the Nashville Predators tied up in this game, 1-1 with the Winnipeg Jets. It was a leaping tip of Josi's long shot, reminiscent of the RV hop. Well, this was a next-level play. Glass deflects the puck down between his own legs as he's leaping into the air and into the back of the net past Hellebuck. Nashville Predators, Winnipeg Jets tied at one apiece, 15:41 of the second. Wheeler's off to the box, 2 minutes for hooking. Hellebuck would come up with a huge save on Johansson, then follow it up with another huge save on Granlund as the rebound goes up over the top of the net. 19:03 of the second, though, Luzon's off to the box, 2 minutes for Tripp. tripping. The penalty kill closes the period strong, and the Nashville Predators have now taken over and dominant in shots on goal, 32-20 in favor of the Nashville Predators after the second period. Now remember, the Preds only had 13 shots on goal in the first period, now 32 for the game. Carryover of that power play for the Winnipeg Jets of 1:04 into the clean sheet in the third period. UC Soros would have to come up with one big save on Morrissey, but the Preds PK would do its job. 3:05 in the third period, UC Soros comes with a save on Scheifele at close range. 3:55, Hellebuck comes up with a save on Sissons. 5:38, Janot's fourth goal of the season comes off of the wraparound as he beats Hellebuck to the post. This gives the Nashville Predators a 2-1 lead on home ice, and for Tanner Janot, the bench, the crowd, everybody involved, this was a moment to absolutely stop, recognize, because Tanner Janot has been working so hard to get to this point and to get back on the scoring sheet. First time since October, his fourth goal of the season gives the Preds a 2-1 lead. 9:21 of the third period, UC Soros comes up with a save on Ehlers. 9:40, Connors off the box. 2 minutes for holding. Hellebuck will come up with a save on Parsons. Outstanding deflection right there at the top of the blue paint. 13:49 for the third period. Hellebuck comes with the save on Duchesne, plus the rebound off of the rush. Good to see Matt Duchesne for the second game in a row. Really getting a good burst out there, especially off of the rush. 15:21 of the third. Soros comes with a save on Connor. We would see a large scrum after the whistle. Good job by the Nashville Predators pushing the Winnipeg Jets away from UC Soros and to the end wall and then handling the business. No penalties would be called on the play. 16:31 of the third period. UC Soros comes with a save on Dubois off the rush. He beat Yossi, but he could not beat Soros. At 7:56 of the third, we go to the empty net scenario. 19:17, Scheifele hits the post. 19:45, Ehlers hits the post. And 19:55, Trennan off the box. 2 minutes for cross-checking. It was a very easy and obvious call. Nashville Predators win the face-off. They play the puck into the corner, and the game expires with the Nashville Predators securing a 2-1 victory, out shooting the Winnipeg Jets 41-33. And for the Nashville Predators, after the first period, it looked like Winnipeg was going to have their way with the Nashville Predators in this game. But the Preds came out in the second period and for the next 40 minutes largely dominated all of the play out there on the ice. It was really a next level gear for the Preds that I didn't think they were going to be capable of against the Winnipeg Jets. Maybe they caught the Jets at the end of a long road trip. Maybe the Preds just finally put it all together. It makes no difference. The Preds found a way to win a game on home ice, and it was an exciting division win and a goaltending duel between UC Soros and Connor Hellebuck, two names that are associated with the Vezina Trophy. So that is an outstanding performance by both of the netminders and a great job by the Nashville Predators to secure another victory against another good team, another potential playoff team. The Winnipeg Jets ahead of the Nashville Predators in the standings by 11 points, and the Nashville Predators able to secure those 2 points, and now they're able to get the even up the season series now one apiece. But the Preds, by going overtime in the first game of the season series against the Jets, able to secure now 3 points out of a possible 4 so far on the season with 2 more meetings to go. Those are going to be incredibly important head-to-head matchups. Nashville Predators secure the 2-1 victory. They outshoot the Winnipeg Jets 41-33, and Tanner Janot gets the game-winning goal. Great job for Tanner Janot in this one. That's the Rebirth Sports full game recap. We'll have full stats, analysis, opinions, and the Renegades of Puck, and that's all coming up next.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Tracy, owner-operator of Strong Style Fitness. And that's me and my training assistant, Rizzo. And we are here to bring you fitness that meets you where you are by offering circuit classes, bar-inspired classes, Tabata workouts, boot camps, guided stretching, and more, all taught by a certified personal trainer, me. To learn more, go to our website, strongstylefit.com. Subscribe on YouTube at Strong Style Fitness. Follow on social media at Strong Style Fit. But most importantly, let's get you moving. It doesn't matter if it's your first workout or you've been doing it for years. Strong Style Fitness has the workout that meets you on your journey and helps you along the path to a happier, healthier life. I understand where you've been, what you were going through, and where you were going, and I want to take you there. We'll see you on the mat.
Soros ends up 32 out of 33 in this game, securing his 18th victory of the season 14 out of 15 in the first period. The Winnipeg Jets were swarming and dominant early in this game. It was overall an outstanding performance, and he won the goaltender's duel against Connor Hellebuck. Connor Hellebuck absolutely held the Winnipeg Jets in this game in the second period, and he did an incredible job. But UC Saros is the better goaltender on this particular night. I look forward to these two dueling two more times this season. I can't see at any point these teams starting either of their backups in the head-to-head matchup. So really a truly outstanding performance by UC Saros, and now getting ready for the All-Star weekend and the All-Star break. I anticipate he will get the last start before the All-Star break against New Jersey, because the teams aren't back on the ice until February the 7th. That's quite a long break. UC Saros, I think right now, will get that last start. Tanner Janot finally puts the puck in the net. Now look, he's been close a lot lately, but he hasn't gotten it done. The effort finally paid off. All anyone talks about associated with the Nashville Predators is how hard Tanner Janot works and how important he is to the penalty kill and to the other aspects of the team game overall. And to be honest with you, I was getting quite sour on Tanner Janot, but seeing him score that goal tonight, I hope it's the beginning of tremendous things to come. Last year was incredible covering him on a game in and game out basis. He just helped and contributed so much to this Nashville Predators team. Sophomore slump is exactly what we're seeing in front of our eyes. But tonight, picking up that goal, it's the game-winning goal. It's truly a Tanner Janot-like goal. Just the determination, the hustle, the effort, and to beat Hellebuck and jam that puck into the net at the post the way he did. Just a great job by Tanner Janot. And you could tell the bench and everybody was absolutely fired up by that. So good job by Tanner Janot. He secures the game-winning goal. But you also got to talk about Cody Glass in this game. He picks up a goal, 7 shots on net in this game, and it's impressive stretch of hockey for him, moving him up to the first line. I was, you know, fairly sour on Parsonen being demoted from the first line to the third line and Glass being moved up again. It had nothing to do with Glass necessarily, but I thought Parsonen had earned the opportunity to remain where he had been so successful. He was on a 6-game point scoring streak after all at that point. But now you see the confidence that Glass is starting to play hockey without there. He is a really, really good hockey player. That deflection he made tonight, that should go on the season-ending highlight reel. Simply incredible. And the more confidence he seems to be gaining, only 15-14 in time on ice, and almost every second of it seems to be noticeable out there. And, you know, I just got to make the point. I thought John Hines couldn't develop any young talent. Well, here's Glass playing first line center and succeeding, where Parsonen was also just playing first line center for this Nashville Predators team and finding success. Just something I thought I would point out. There is typically at least a little bit of success for John Hines when almost everybody wants to magnify nothing but the failures. He is doing some things right, and currently this team's 5 games over .500 with 1 game to go before the All-Star break and could be nipping at the heels of third place going into the All-Star break. Alex Carrier, want to talk about him. Only 4:40 in time on ice. Came back after the fight in the first period. Took a couple of more shifts, but did not return after the first intermission. Do not know his injury status at this time, but I've got to say, him stepping up the way he did in that fight, it was a huge size disadvantage for Alex Carrier. He never had a fight in the NHL, and he was taking on an absolute heavyweight. I hope that he's all right, and I hope he can be back in the lineup soon. Hopefully, that was nothing more than precautionary measures. But Alex Carey not being able to be involved in the final 40 minutes of this game really overstressed. The Nashville Predators only 5D against a really high-flying, high-profile top six from the Winnipeg Jets. And how did they get that done? How did they get the stop? Well, they did that with Ryan McDonagh. 26:51 in total time on ice. That led the Nashville Predators in total time on ice. He absolutely picked up the slack in this one, blocked 3 shots, and also had 1 hit in this game. And every one of his blocked shots came at a critical moment where UC Saros may have been out of position or may not have been able to get there in time. So Ryan McDonagh is the one who absolutely shouldered the burden in this one, along with Romeo Yossi, 26 minutes skated. So the two of them at 26 minutes plus, but Ryan McDonagh overall lead 26:51. Matthias Ekholm also a season high, 24:47 in time on ice. Truly impressive for those three members of the defense corps, led by Ryan McDonagh in this particular situation, to handle the situation and step up the way they did against a very, very good Winnipeg Jets team. And that second period, the Preds gave up 15 shots on goal in the first period. rested. They were being run around on their home ice. They were down. And then suddenly, they came out like a totally different team there in the second period, and they were just dominating early play. If it wasn't for a bad penalty by Matthias Ekholm, the Preds might have run Winnipeg completely out of the rink there in the second period. Connor Hellebuck also the only reason the Winnipeg Jets were not down by significant amounts in this second period. That Preds second period for a team that's been pretty bad in second periods, especially in recent hockey, that was an impressive 20-minute stretch right there. It was a lot of fun to watch, and the Preds were just pouring on the offense. Again, if it wasn't for a Vezina caliber goaltender and Connor Hellebuck, the Nashville Predators probably pull away in the second period. So that's why we called it a goaltender's duel. Hellebuck kept him in it when he needed to, and in the first period, Saros kept his team in it exactly when they needed to. But an incredible second period right there, and the Preds are able to hold on there in the third period. A little bit too unselfish on the empty net opportunities. Granlund needs to go ahead and take that shot when he has the opportunity. I know he likes to pass first, but in a one-goal game against a division rival, that's 11 points ahead of you in the standings. You got to shoot that puck. But no real criticism, just a comment to mention. You know who I want to hear from? Sean C. Smith was at Bridgestone Arena tonight, and I want to hear what Sean has to say. From A to Z Sports, you can find him on Twitter at SCSNSH. He is, of course, the one and only Sean C. Smith.
Thanks, Charlie. Hey, Renegades. Look, it's Sean Smith back again. A little bit less serious, a little bit less of a rant tonight. We're going to talk about this Predators win over the Winnipeg Jets. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. The Predators had a big team meeting on Saturday before their game against the Los Angeles Kings. Players led the meeting. Coaches called it. Players led it. Alex Doherty, my site mate over at A to Z Sports, wrote about that meeting. Players call it uncomfortable. They called it a meeting where the veteran players, the big money guys on the team, took accountability for the lackluster play leading up to that game, especially that game against St. Louis. And basically, the team rededicated themselves to the task of playing up to higher standards and playing to the standard of doing everything you could to win. And that's exactly what they did against the Kings. Now, I put out an article today, which I wouldn't, you know, go read it now because they've already kind of proved one of the things, but I said the Predators had a lot of stuff to prove in these last two games before the All-Star break. Of course, tonight against the Winnipeg Jets, Thursday against the New Jersey Devils. Two teams at the tops of their divisions, or at least close to the top of their division, and those are two teams that the Predators would want to beat, considering one of the big criticisms that's been levied at the team this season has been that they can only beat weaker teams and other teams occasionally that are in that mushy middle of the standings, the teams that are kind of in, kind of out of that wild card playoff chase right now. And when they come up against top tier talent, such as the Winnipeg Jets tonight or the New Jersey Devils on Thursday, that they do not rise to the occasion. So I said that the Predators going into the All-Star break had a lot to prove by putting up big performances. And if they didn't have good results, if they had middling results or even losses, that it would not say very much about the future of this team and how they're going to do for the rest of the season. And of course, what happens over the next few weeks has a lot to do with what happens at the trade deadline. So the Predators played the Jets, and guess what? Pulled off the big win. It was close. It was 2-1. The Jets scored early, never scored again. The Predators got some good pressure. They looked pretty good. They outshot the Jets pretty heavily, and eventually enough shots took its toll on Connor Hellebuck. They got a couple of goals. Great goal by Cody Glass, deflecting a laser beam from Roman Josi. And then, of course, who can forget Tanner Jeannot with their wraparound, taking the lead back. And I tell you what, it was an exciting night for a lot of other reasons, too. Of course, the guys were playing with a lot of mojo, and that's exactly what you wanted to see. But you saw the whole team committing to that style of play. The biggest example I could say is this. Early in the game, Cody Glass took a big hit. Looked bad when I saw it, and I'm going to tell you why it looked bad when I saw it, from Logan Stanley of the Jets. Now, looked like it might have been high immediately, before Cody Glass has a chance to get up. Alex Carrier immediately comes to his defense, starts fighting with this guy, and it becomes apparent early on that the reason, boys and girls, that the hit looked like it might have been high was because Logan Stanley is 6'7". It's a huge mountain of a man. And, of course, Alex Carrier, 5'11". 8-inch height differential. Big, big difference. Big difference on reach. But look, someone said it's not the size of the dog, but you know what? I don't know. Look, Carrier's got that dog in him. He showed it. And that's the important thing, right? He went to his teammate's aid. He sacrificed himself. And realistically, unfortunately, according to Coach Hines after the game, Carrier is injured as a result of that fight. And we didn't get a very extensive update. That's all we got. He apologized for not having a better update, and surely we'll know more tomorrow. But for now, we do know that Alex Carrier was injured in that fight and came back to the game for a while, but then sat out for the rest of the game. Cody Glass, of course, is okay. The hit looked high because the guy was a giant. But after the game, had a chance to talk to goal scorer Cody Glass, who said that he felt bad that Carrier had to fight for him, didn't want him to get hurt, felt like he definitely owed him a steak dinner or a new pair of shoes. Tell you what, Cody Glass is a lot of fun in the locker room. To be a kid playing at a high level as he is, he's got this very innocent, aw shucks attitude that plays really well. It's refreshing sometimes in the locker room to talk to somebody who's pretty unassuming and pretty honest and gives you pretty good, quick, honest, open reactions to things. So nice to talk to him. I've got a tweet up of it over on the Twitter if you want to check it out. But a lot of the guys talked about sacrifice. They talked about how guys like Cole Smith, guys like Tanner Janot are doing all the things they need to do to give the team the best chance to win, even if it doesn't show up on the score sheet. Now, it's interesting that a lot of people will demonize or villainize Cole Smith for this, but at the same time, champion Tanner Janot. Janot and Smith have had very similar seasons, very similar results. A few more goals for Janot, but that's about it, just a few. So it's interesting that in those guys' eyes, Cole Smith scoring his first NHL goal, huge reaction from the bench. Tanner Janot scoring his first goal in quite a while, another huge reaction from the bench. This is a close-knit team. They mean a lot to each other. They fight for each other. They play for each other. Everybody on that team respects everybody else on that team. They showed up and played that way against the Jets. They need to show up and play that way against the Devils if they want to make a statement that they're a team that can make the playoffs and make some noise in the playoffs. Because the last thing this team needs is another first-round exit against a team that's headed to the Stanley Cup Finals. Charlie, that's all I've got. I'm going to send it back over to you.
The digital environment can be quite intimidating, time-consuming, and cumbersome, especially with all those other areas that need attention at your business, and that's why Stripe Digital Solutions is here to help. I know, because that's exactly what Stripe Digital Solutions did for me and the Renegades of Puck. From designing my home website and helping me create my merchandise to special event posters, brand building, and social media management. But it's not just that. It's so much more. Stripe Digital Solutions has helped me every step of the way. From startup to full-time operation, Stripe Digital Solutions has been there to assist and advise every single step of the journey. In today's fast-paced world, the path to success is having a strong digital partner, and nobody is better in the trenches than Brandy and Stripe Digital Solutions. Get the solution before it's even a problem with Stripe Digital Solutions. When you have a goaltender's duel, there's not a lot of numbers in the box score, but still some things we can take a look at. Your goal scorers for the Nashville Predators, Glass and Janot with the game winner. Your assists for the Nashville Predators go to Philip Forsberg, Tommy Novak, and also the captain, Roman Josi. Shots on goal, Glass led the team tonight with 7 total shots on goal. Dante Fabbro chipped in with 6 shots on goal, and got to say, not a bad performance by Dante Fabbro. We talked a lot about the rest of the defense corps. If there's only 5 defenders out there, of course, he had to be part of the group that stepped up. Blocked shots, the captain Roman Josi and Ryan McDonough with 3 apiece. When it comes to hits, it was Colton Sissons with 5 hits in this game, but it was Luzon with 6 hits. Glass also added 4 hits to this game. If Luzon continues piling up hits the way he has in these last several games stretch of hockey, and then by the end of the season, Luzon's going to find himself near the league leaders in hits. There is absolutely no doubt about that. Impressive to see the numbers he has put up. And the ice time, this is where things look a little bit wild because of the injury tonight. Granlund leads the forwards in total time on ice, 18:39. But of course, all the focus comes on the defenders who had to step up and fill those extra minutes. 26:51 total time on ice for Ryan McDonough. 26 minutes for the captain, Roman Josi. 24:47 for Matthias Ekholm in this game. And UC Saros picks up the victory victory in the goaltender's duel, 32 out of 33, to pick up his 18th victory on the season. That gets you the official box score, and it gets you some of the numbers, but it doesn't really fully explain everything. And that's exactly why it's time to go over to the Renegade Analytics desk. It's time to get the numbers you need to know, the charts you need to see. He is the one and only Brian Baston, and he's up right now with one big stat.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. I'm Brian Baston here at the Renegades Analytics desk, and your Nashville Predators have won their second straight, beating the Winnipeg Jets 2-1 tonight at Bridgestone Arena. And while it may have seemed like Nashville was trailing for a lot of the game, they did give up that first goal there in the first couple of minutes. Nashville was actually pretty effective on both ends of the ice, just like they were in the game against the Los Angeles Kings. But two lines in particular were extremely effective in the matchup tonight, and those two lines are the topic of tonight's one big stat. Now, let's look at the two goal scorers, because guess what? Those are the two lines that I'm going to talk about. Let's start with the game winner and the long-awaited one for Tanner Janot. 38 games without a goal coming into tonight, and Tanner Janot finally gets one home. And that line was extremely effective. Tanner Janot was on a line centered by Tommy Novak with Yakov Trenin, and this is how effective they were at 5-on-5 tonight. In shot attempts, they out-attempted the Winnipeg Jets 18-9 when they were on the ice. As for shots, it was 12-7. And with expected goals, 0.9 versus 0.1. So that's an 85.6 shot quality percentage. Pretty good. And they've been effective for a while now. This lineup has been together now for about 82 minutes, and they average just over 50% in most of their metrics, shot shares, shot attempt shares, and expected goals. But they've actually doubled their opponents in high danger chances for 31-16. So that's pretty good. But let's talk about the one line that did better, and that is the line of Philip Forsberg, Cody Glass, and Matt Duchene. Now, this line has been electric since they've been put together, and Cody Glass has definitely stepped up and filled in that first line center role pretty admirably. But let's talk about what they did tonight, because frankly, it's pretty crazy. As for shot attempts, 17-5 at 5-on-5 at 11.5 minutes together tonight. As for shots, they outshot the Winnipeg Jets 12-3 while they were on the ice. They made a goal and gave up a goal, unfortunately. However, they outgained them in shot quality for one expected goal to 0.2, which was an 82% shot share. But how have they done so far when they've been placed together this season? Well, this season, they only actually have 61 minutes together. They have more attempts, 88-45. A pretty staggering shot percentage, 51-19, a 73% shots for percentage. That's really impressive. They've outscored opponents 5-1 at 5-on-5, and they have a 75% shot quality share compared to the Winnipeg to their opponents when they are on the ice. But the most impressive stat, I think, for this line is their high-danger chances. They have gotten 27 high-danger chances compared to their opponent's 9. That's really, really impressive. And this is a line that's been pretty fantastic. Cody Glass has finally shaken off the jitters that he had from the beginning of the year. And the thing that maybe probably plagued him all while he was in Las Vegas, but I think he's definitely found his home on the first line as the center between Forsberg and Duchene, and it also gives a lot of extra manpower down further down the lineup. So these two lines have been extremely, extremely effective, even though they're on opposite sides of the lineup. Now, of course, you have your third line of Juuso Parsonen and Cole Smith, guys like that, Colton Sissons, and your second line, your Ryan Johansson and Mikael Granlund and Nino Niederreiter. So that's a pretty balanced lineup, and if you're getting two lines producing in the way that these two lines did tonight, that should bode well offensively for the future as they make their playoff push, if it's even going to happen. And that's tonight's one big stat. Back to you, Charlie.
I'm Crazy Charlie Sonnier, captain of the Renegades of Puck. I'm also tired of the cold, tired of the dark, and tired of being landlocked. I'm also willing to bet that I'm not the only one who could use some sun, fun, and time in paradise with friends. That's exactly why I called our great friend Pete Weber. He told me, call Ships and Trips Travel, and now we're all going to Mexico. That's right, Renegades of Puck, July 15th to the 20th of 2023. Dreams Vallarta Resort in Puerto Vallarta is the destination to hang with Pete Weber in paradise. To join Pete and the Renegades of Puck in Puerto Vallarta, go to www.shipsandtripstravel.com. That's shipsandtripstravel.com, and just click on the ROP on vacation tab. Don't stay landlocked. Join the Renegades of Puck in paradise, July 15th to the 20th, 2023, in Puerto Vallarta. Pete Weber, the Renegades of Puck, and you. It's time to ditch those skates for flip-flops and fun in the sun. And considering the incredible amount of hockey that has been played as of late, to see that there's just one game before a lengthy break in the schedule for the All-Star weekend and beyond. And remember, UC Soros will be the only representative for the Nashville Predators. So for the rest of the Nashville Predators, it is going to be time to take a significant amount of rest, the longest rest you're going to get during the regular season. So for the Nashville Predators, I know it's been a lot of hockey in a short amount of time, but it's time to let it all hang out. And on this homestand victories over the LA Kings, victory over the Winnipeg Jets, a victory over the New Jersey Devils, and a clean sweep of the three-game homestand going into the All-Star break would be a highly impressive feat and would have the Nashville Predators putting the pressure on the top teams in the Central Division coming out of the All-Star break. That's when the sprint truly starts. With 30-plus games to go, there are a hell of a lot of points left out there for this season. And the Nashville Predators, if they can put together games like they did the third period against the LA Kings, the second period and most of the third period tonight against the Winnipeg Jets, and they can put together a solid performance against the New Jersey Devils, there'll be no doubt that that is three solid pieces of evidence that this team is putting it together at just the right time, with a goaltender that is assured to be in the Vezina conversation here towards the end of the season, and Roman Josi coming on as strong as he has ever, now at 40 points on the season in just 47 games played. Well, for the Nashville Predators, they might be starting to finally turn that curve and put things together at just the right time. John Hines might finally have his seat cooling off just a little bit. For the Nashville Predators, winning this game against the New Jersey Devils is huge. They'd sweep the season series against the Devils, who are a very, very good hockey team. And those 4 points against the Eastern Conference could come in critical in the Central Division, because clearly you have six teams that are getting jammed in there very, very tightly. Dallas might be starting to run away with it just a little bit. Winnipeg right on their heels. But there are four other teams in contention right now for that third playoff spot and for the wild card spot. So for the Nashville Predators, winning this game against the New Jersey Devils, it would be critically important and would help to give a lot of good positive evidence going into the All-Star break that this team is trending in a positive direction. And for those of you who want to see the team bottom out and you want to see all of the players fail, I have to cover each and every second of this team. I have to cover each and every game by this team. I do not want to see this team bottom out and completely fail. While that might get them a higher draft pick, that will not help me in coverage of the show. It will not help my business, and it will certainly not help my viewership, my listenership, or anything else. Victories means good business, and it means happiness for everybody. It's getting into the playoffs is the most important thing, and once you're in, it is an absolute crapshoot. Just ask the 2017 Nashville Predators, who barely squeaked in and found themselves just one game away from forcing a Game 7 against the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup Final. Getting to the playoffs is the whole point of the 82-game regular season. After that, absolutely anything can happen. A red-hot goaltender like UC Soros can carry a team through. We've never seen that with the Nashville Predators, because UC Soros didn't get the opportunity to play in the playoffs last year. Would it beat the Colorado Avalanche? Probably not, but the Nashville Predators have a great opportunity with a Vezina caliber goaltender. Getting in the playoffs is what's most important, and it's going to be a hell of a sprint here the last 30 plus games of the season after the All-Star break. We'll be here to cover every bit of it. Every time the Nashville Predators get some victories and they go on a winning streak, clicks go up, listenership goes up, views go up, money goes up, and we like that around here because we need that to keep this independent hockey operation going. So thank you so much. We appreciate each and every one of you for checking the show out, supporting the show, and giving us all of that love. For Sean C. Smith, for Brian Bass, and each and every one of the Renegades of Puck, one more game to go before the All-Star break. We'll be right back here in the bunker Thursday night, breaking it down. Nashville Predators versus New Jersey Devils. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Stick taps, love, and respect.